Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 324, part 2, the conclusion to self-respect. Today is Sunday, December 29th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Self-respect makes a point and then drops it.
Oh, I know right now, in the church, there are people, I'm talking about the body of Christ worldwide, there are people that wish they never would have started things that they could have taken care of in chambers. You know what I'm talking about? You're never going to hear it. And whispered in your ear so you can shout it from the housetop to judge somebody openly and put them out openly on TV. Never.
Are you hearing this message, you on the radio? Make a point and then drop it and go on and don't get stuck on one thing. Don't imagine wrongs and get suspicious. You can imagine things are wrong. If you're not right, nothing's right. You can walk into your job and imagine everybody's talking about you. You just walk in there, maybe you're guilty about just a lot of things you did. You lost your self-respect. So now you've lost the armor. And you go in there. You're all set up for Satan. See, you walk in. I wonder what they're saying over there. There's another group over there. You sort of psych out, see? There's another group over there. Oh, I bet they're saying this. And the devil says, yeah, they got your number, buddy. Huh? They ain't saying nothing. They could care less about you. And if they do get on your case, they'll fly to another dunghill quick enough. Don't worry, you know, something that happened in your life. They'll fly over to something else. I mean, you get to be old hat after a while. Don't be such an egotist to think that everybody's just going to continually talk and talk and There he is again. There he is again. There she is again. There she is again. They forget about you. The Inquirer's got more guys and these papers and the news and Christians back and forth. Hello, Agnes. Yes, I just thought, what are you doing? Oh, just nothing. I just thought I'd get on the phone. Just a minute, I'm going to get a cup of coffee because this would be a long story. Now the stories are even so long that they get these little pictures, thermal pictures, so they can sit there, see. And then they use the plastic cups so that, they won't have time to wash anything because the husband will come home by the time they get off the phone. And they lose their self-respect. And then when the husband comes home, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? Working myself to death all day. Trying to gain back self-respect by beating the old gent's head in. Wasn't that right? No, I mean, am I the only one? I mean, hey. Have you not found this true in your own lives? Mike, have you found this true? Great. Yeah, we do, don't we? We start to imagine things. And we start to make a whole lot out of nothing. But we start to get sensitive for the justice of others. And so the man whose self-respect guards him never takes undue advantage of anybody. When he knows a secret about someone, it's as safe as Colonel Sanders' recipe. That's safe, isn't it? You ever try to get Colonel Sanders' recipe? Impossible. 26 herbs and spices. And they keep shifting them around under nutshells. Nobody knows. About the time you think you have it, you lose it. But anyway, when we know a secret about someone, it's so safe. Or better yet, secrets you confess to Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus coming down and telling a group? And people use that. You know what the Lord told me? The Lord came and spoke to me. Not scriptural. We were having coffee this morning, me and Jesus, and I said, do you use sugar? Yeah, 2 lumps. We were sitting there. And this is how nuts it's gotten. 4 million books out there, and they're all from somebody that had some kind of vision or some kind of this. A lot of it is just, it's just nothing. Believe me. Believe me? How many know that there's a lot of stuff out there that just isn't for real? I mean, it's not realistic. It's not for real. God, it is not. And we pick it up, so we're looking for some kind of excitement. Oh, this guy had 14 angels that came to his house. And this guy had this. And this guy had... And see, if you say anything against any of those things, you can't prove any of that. But then you look at the person a lot of times that writes all these fantastic things, and they're meaner a lot of times than hell itself. And then so we were sitting there and we had a coffee and Jesus uses 2 lumps. We've been friends for many, many years. And he started telling me about this person. If he tells you about any person, it'll be yourself. First hand, all you're going to learn about is yourself. And it comes through your conscience. It isn't a 1 or 2 lump thing. It's lumps on your head with a rod by the word of God. I know, I got plenty of them. I think that's why I lost all my hair. The hair just gave up, said, this guy's a real dimwit, you know. Sorry for any bald people that are in here. I mean, a person with self-respect would never betray a secret no matter how hard he is pressed. Come on now, you know more than you're telling us. Come on, fess up. We want to know. You know all about this person. I mean, for his own good, give us some constructive criticism about him.
We want to know. Don't we want to know a lot? We want to know about everybody's personal life. We want to put a Snoop lens in their bedroom. We want to put listening devices, you know. Huh? How'd you like a listening device around you 24 hours a day? Huh? Oh, wouldn't mind. We never fight in our house, liars. We never gossip. Are you hearing this? No, he keeps still. Why? Self-respect. That's what's wrong right now. Low self-respect. And so we take other preachers and we push them out there and we open up their books and we open up their lives and we slay them out there and we throw them in the Colosseum to the lions. What are we lacking? Self-respect. I see this in the president and Poindexter and Oliver North controversy, that there's some self-respect there, so they just aren't telling everything. Do you ever think about it that way? They may even go down and go out as a loser, but they can go to sleep at night. And so the sanctity of his own word of honor closes his lips forever. And that secret belongs to the past. His respect for himself, for his word, for what his friend once was, locks up those certain memories and throws away the key in the sea of forgetfulness. And friends, that's becoming Christ-like. Also, self-respect, I believe, realizes no one but himself can degrade the individual, cause his total ruin. Don't do it. You lose your self-respect. Maybe the person you know secrets about even insults you. Here, you know all these secrets about this person. And for some unknown reason, they come up and they insult you. Well, I'm not saying that. I just mean that I hate you or something. But self-respect says, I hold your tongue. I hold your tongue. Isn't that a hard one to hold? I think the worst wound that self-respect can ever receive outside of ourselves. Outside of ourselves now is from your own blood. And we're losing that in this country too, aren't we? You know, when they came from the old country, they never did stuff like that. Oh, they'd fight, brothers would fight. My brother and I would fight. They'd say, what are you guys fighting about? Well, brothers fight like that. You know, beat each other up, and then somebody would come along and they'd say something. And then we'd stop fighting, and we'd jump on both of us would jump on the guy. And we don't have that anymore. It's the worst thing. And the worst wound that can happen to people is when their own people wound them outside of yourself. That's the worst. When you wound yourself and you lose your self-respect on something you didn't do, even though it looks right and you know it's wrong, you're going to live with that thing. That's the worst to live with. But next, it's when a wound comes from somebody that you love, somebody inside your own family or a very trusted friend. That's a wound, folks. Even Jesus, they said, in his own family, well, he's a little bit crazy, you know. Do you think that wounded? when people believe a lie about you after years of friendship. Now, I don't want you to get melancholy over this. And, put on old records and drink old Coke out of old Coke bottles and everything like that. I'm just telling you this for your own benefit now. When people believe a lie about you after they have been your friends for years, when your words are twisted, or when friends fall silent, they don't say anything. Well, I just won't say nothing at all. Oh, puke. Then your self-respect, don't you see, is challenged. See, it is what we do now that shows our character. Your self-respect may even become numbed momentarily. But praise God, self-respect always rights itself. Do you ever have one of those toys and you can hit them? There's like a clown and you hit that toy and it comes right back up. It's weighted. Those little toy mandarin type things. Praise God, it's weighted. And our self-respect can become more serene, more quiet, better balanced, more sincere, more fruitful, more loving with each blow. Because you grow. And you'll actually wear the enemy out. They just, they're too pooped to pop. They become deflated. They wear themselves out. You know what I mean? With innuendo and slander and all kinds of stuff. Don't worry about it. It's going to come in the end for everybody. And finally, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go over there. Go over there to a certain pastor over there, a certain person over there, and I want you to throw a dart. I want it to be the Achilles' heel. I want you to get it in the right spot. And the guy comes back. He says, I went over there. You know, I threw a dart, but there's no place to get darts in. The guy says, well, why didn't you throw a stone or something? We've got to knock this character out. We can't allow this person to live. You wear people out by just going on with what you're doing. You do. You wear out criticism, you know. That's just like you on your jobs and like that, you know, and they might be criticized or something like that. And you just keep right on doing that job and right on doing that job. And pretty soon the people start to look at the criticizer because their consciences have been talking to them at night. So they look at him. He's next on the agenda. You wear him out by just doing what you know what you're supposed to do and go on with that. They're too poop to pop anymore. They just give up on this guy. There's a new one. Let's go after that one. Well, looks like a one that'll fall in a hurry. Okay, gang, come on. Aren't we awful when we're left to our own lusts and our own flesh? Oh, man. Yeah, you wear the enemy out. See, self-respect never plays, and I'm closing, Russian roulette with a conscience to see who wins. Don't play with your conscience. Or rolls, let's say, the dice of chance with the conscience to see who wins. Or doesn't put the thumb on the scale like a dishonest butcher. I believe, admits when it's wrong and goes on and then goes up. I was wrong. It starts to see those dirty, mean actions in all of its filthy rags of pettiness. Even though it may appear as a clean policy, or clean in policy, we should say, or practicality. It doesn't pretend to gain friends or hold on to them. And self-respect then in closing says, and while I live my best, people, maybe they dislike me for what I am, but I'm going to live my best for what I know I'm supposed to be, and I'm going to go on. I can't be a phony. See, no man remains true or constant or loyal for years unless inspired by self-respect. You can't even live this life if you don't have the kind of self-respect that I'm talking about right here. I think we got to let others trust also by teaching them how to trust. How do you teach someone how to trust? By saying, I trust you. Do you ever trust your little ones? Don't do that, young man. Did you ever trust your little ones? You say, I'm going to trust you. Right? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that you'll do this. And so you say, okay, now I'm going to give this to them. And you kind of watch them. I'm going to trust them to do this house up. And you come home and you say, isn't that cute? They got this spread arm backwards and they did the best they could. And they, mirrors are all smeared and everything, but they're little. You say, now I trusted you to do this. And there's a few mistakes here, and I want to show you how to do this right now. Show you that you didn't do it right. Now that's caring. You say, okay, now let's get in there. Now you grab the rag firmly with both hands, and you spray the window cleaner on there. You don't spray the whole house with it. You don't get into fights with each other and try to put each other's eyes out with this ammonia spray. But you spray it on. No, you see, it takes more to teach people. And just, wasn't that cute? They did the best they can. How would you like to go to a mechanic and the wires are hanging all out of your car? Well, you did the best you can. Here's your $400. Oh, no, friends. You're going to tell them. And if you really have self-respect for yourself, you're going to tell your kids. And this is not the way you do this thing. You wipe this window down and you clean it up just right. And you clean the sink and you clean the bowl. And you aren't scared of that toilet bowl. You lift up the seat, see, and you clean the underside of that thing. And you get down inside there and you get underneath the rim there, you know what I mean? And then you flush that toilet and mean business and let the water come up and flush it again. And then you wipe your way right out of that bathroom. Ah! And you turn the light off. Now, you're going to stay in here all the day until you become an expert bathroom cleaner. But I want to go out and play. Oh, as soon as you do it right, you can go out and play. And the moon comes up over Miami. And they're still cleaning the bathroom. I'll guarantee you, folks, they are going to be the best bathroom cleaners because you had enough self-respect to teach them the right way. Whoever taught you how to clean a bathroom? My mother. I remember my mother teaching me how to do a bathroom. When I went to somebody else's house, I went over there and I cleaned the bathroom, and they said, whoever taught you how to clean this bathroom? I said, my mom. It took her a month to show me how to clean a toilet bowl and to pick up the seat. You know what I'm talking about. All right? I mean, these are all things you have to talk about. Oh, don't say that. Oh, this is a scripture. No, I'm talking about reality and preaching. You hear me? And my mothers have to teach us that thing. And they might have to tell you 100 times, pick up the seat, pick up, slap, slap, pick the seat up. Right? Oh, if you have self-respect. Isn't that right? I mean, this is, oh, goodness, I came for, oh, I've turned the radio on and I wanted a fantastic, I'm giving you a teaching. You're going to learn, know how to clean a toilet bowl when I get done with you, buddy boy. Well, isn't that the truth, though, isn't it? We don't put up with them. We don't totally put up with all of this and making excuses for our kids and so on like that. No, we teach them until they learn how to do it. And then they have self-respect for them. You're actually teaching them self-respect. Just in the most fundamental of things, you're teaching them self-respect. And you gain it for yourself, too. Isn't that right? Isn't it? I mean, when you teach your little one, I mean, and they do the job right, and the teacher says, I was amazed at this child on what they knew. I went to work for some Greeks. This is during the war, and my dad had to close because he had cheated on some food stamps and tried to get some beef from one of the farmers. Farmer comes and says, hey, I can get you beef, and you're whacking off beef here and there. But he had stamps. See, my dad said, oh, that'd be nice. We'll have steaks and everything. Feed everybody. No, that's nice. It's really good. Okay, bring them in. He was hauling them in the back and frying them up. And, you know, business was fantastic. And so we lost that. And for 2 weeks, I had to go to work for some other Greek people. And they had two cafes, and there was a tunnel in between the two. And I was so proficient at waiting tables because my mother told me, never waste a step. I'm going to show you how to do this. Got to have a reason for everything. There's a place for everything and everything in its place. I can hear her talking right now, talking about 100 miles an hour. That's why I can talk like I talk. And there's a place for everything and everything in this place. I'm going to show you how this goes. Now, you don't stop. You don't think. When you go down to the end, you have to walk all the way. And the cafe was like a half a block, my dad's cafe. She'd teach me exactly what to do all the way down. Think when you're going. Think when you're going. Think cafe. Think wait tables. Think tips. Oh, that stuck with me. Wow. You know what I mean? And so I went to these Greek cafe, and they'd run between the two tunnels because I was so good and so proficient at carrying cups. I'd carry like a six deal here with the cups and saucers. And years ago, they had the creamers, and they had the spoons on there and all of this on there, and carry those around and zigzag around all those counters and all them people and oh, excuse me, and just you know, and I'm still using that today. I wait tables down here, right here. Come on now, watch me wait tables down here sometime. I don't waste a step. How did I learn that? From my mother, because she had self-respect. From my dad, because he had self-respect. And so what did I gain out of it? Self-respect. Just on the smallest of levels. When you teach somebody to fly an airplane, you're not going to say, oh, you're doing pretty good. Only bounced about four times. You want to teach them so they don't bounce at all. Well, you're doing fine, but one more bounce like that, and you're going to lose your wings, fella. Right? I mean, you want to be the best you can be. And isn't it something? When you teach somebody, teachers, are you listening? When you teach somebody, don't you have enough self-respect for yourself to make sure that they go out there? They're a product of your teaching, of your preaching. They're a product of what you've made them. You've wrapped them up in love, and here's the package, world. They know how to clean a toilet bowl. They know how to cook a mulligan stew. They know how to change a diaper. They know how to have self-respect, and they don't gossip, and they don't get into fits, and they aren't angry all the time, and they just got their mind on what they're supposed to do. Here they are. We turn kids loose that don't know a thing. Here they are. I don't know why there's this poor girl in this house. I don't know how to clean. I don't know how to do anything. Help! Help! And it shows them on TV in the Ajax, and there's this woman with a bandana on her head. Help! Help! And Mr. Clean comes up out of the machine. Mr. Clean! That ain't the way it is. That ain't the way it is, folks. It's as bad as some Christianity. Are you hearing this? Yeah, no man remains true and constant and loyal for years unless he is inspired by self-respect. Now, for sure, people are going to betray us, just as they did Jesus. Hey, if Peter's rooster I'm talking about here is crowing in your life, and you go out weeping, and you have lost your self-respect, Jesus has enough self-respect to forgive you. And sure, there's going to be Judas people out there. There will always be that spirit. When the pressure is applied, when groups form, when the end draws nigh, when the World Council of Churches sets its jaw to do evil in the sight of God and mark it down, it's happening. When the Antichrist raises his head out of the Godfather's pizza, offering, let's say, you free Pepsi, and it will come out of Rome. But don't you see, our successes will be more than our failures. 1 to 12. 1 Judas in 12. Not bad. Many of those who betray will sometimes realize, and I think in time awaken, in time turn around, swim ashore at the call of Jesus, and you can fry them some fish. When the question comes like it did to Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me more than these? The tears will say, yes, Lord. You know, Lord. Self-respect will return when it's suffered long enough, and I think we are ready for that in our country right now. We are turning around. Glory to God, I'm seeing it in the world. And right now, because we're not in obedience a lot of times, the world will show us the way. And they'll say, enough. I mean, they're going to say enough. Let's draw a line. Let's call some things sacred. Let's have enough self-respect so that we don't ruin one another. The Bible says that we do that. Such things, it says, are demonic. Well, let's stop taking our conscience fishing and stop going to bed with a bad conscience every night. Oh, what a thing to go to bed with. Let's know that we've done our best, folks. Start to share with ourselves and with others what it means to have self-respect, what it means to just stand up and be counted and say, God, help me, show me, teach me, be teachable, just like that mother or that father taught you and made you a responsible person. I'm looking at people here right now that are responsible people. Who's responsible for that? Your parents. Kent is here with his mother, and she is responsible for a lot of what you see in Kent there. I'm responsible for a lot that you see in my kids. There's a responsibility, people, to carry on the tradition that God has given us of self-respect. And don't tell everybody everything about your whole life when it's none of people's biz. Did you ever have somebody shock you by fumigating their roach-infested lives right in front of you? They bring out a hand fumigator and start... What are you doing? Oh, I'm a lousy life. Let me tell you about my life. You don't even hardly know them? I'd be like somebody walking down the street in their Fruit of the Looms. Hey, it's a shocker. You don't want to hear their whole story of their whole life. God knows I don't want everybody to know every little thing I ever did in the whole of my life, do you? Don't tell everybody everything. Maybe have one trusted friend. You have to trust somebody. But don't, and you see a lot of this going on. People telling their whole life, well, when I was 21, it was a very nasty year. I was the most horrible person you would ever imagine. Let me draw you a picture of what I did. I have some photographs. I have some photographs. You don't know the half of what I was. When I was 36, whoo, I got so nasty, folks, huh? Don't tell everybody. Forgetting those things that are past and pressing forward towards the high mark, the calling in Christ. You were a sinner. You were nasty. You were perverted. The Bible bears that out. Don't draw pictures for people. Don't clutter their minds. Don't awaken their imagination. Really? And then what happened? Who cares? Go on. Don't get stuck on yourself. See, some things are sacred. Some memories are sacred. Some episodes should not be told. Some experiences in the individual's lives are sacred. And so put out no fishing signs. Put out none of your business. Put out closed. Put out sightseers not welcome. Because our country needs to return to self-respect. We got to revive it. We got to come off of welfare and get on jobs. We got to leave off doing sloppy work and get into doing the right work. Are you hearing this message today? We got to return to reading and writing and arithmetic done to the tune of a hickory stick. We got to start saluting our flag. We got to start saying, hey, this is America. This is the country that I love. This is the country that I know I can go into the school and I can pray. I'm proud of what I'm doing here. I have that self-respect. I'm going to leave the porno behind. I'm going to stop toting coke, if you're doing that and you're listening on the radio. I'm going to leave off of homosexuality, and after all, that's just another sin, isn't it? I'm going to return to the gospel message, the simple message of you must be born again. I'm going to return to the baptism and the joy of the Lord and recognize the cross and the blood and the Lamb of God. I'm going to live the cross and live it with Jesus. And so we're going to stop treating prostitutes and homosexuals and lesbians and potheads and wife beaters and husband beaters and treating people like outcasts and cast Satan out of their lives by saying, hey, let's have a little bit of self-respect here. Let's breathe some life on people with an expression of love and joy and the way we dress and the way we talk and our friends and the way we trust and the way we have self-respect in everything that we do. Oh, if we ever needed one thing, and that's that far deeper walk to give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the highest respect that you can have yourself if you're out there and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You're sitting here today and you don't know the Lord. That is the greatest thing there is, to know Jesus as your personal Savior, and without it you can't have no respect for yourself. Is there anyone here today that doesn't know Jesus as a personal Savior?
That was episode 324. That was part two to self-respect. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to www.pastorpaul.org. Up at the top of the homepage, you'll find a link to the podcast. Join us next Friday for part one of Judging. Have a great week, happy New Year, and be safe. God bless you.
To my big brother George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.